Welcome to The Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast presented to you by LSG Media. And now we discuss the Flayed. The Flayed, Jessica. Well, as we continue our march towards the closeout of season three. I gotta hand it to this show. I just think it keeps getting better and better with each episode. Aww,
that's so sweet of you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Are you part of the writing team? Were you going to be offended if I thought otherwise?
Yes, I am.
So we got basically three major jump offs here, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the elevator crew, you've got Hopper and Joyce, and then you've got, you know, L and the gang, so to speak, which now includes Jonathan and
Nancy.
They're
all back together again. Yay. The gang's back together.
Pretty cool. What were your thoughts on this episode overall when you saw it?
I like this episode. I like the coming together of the storylines that we're starting to see. We're starting to bring our people together and give them things to do as opposed to just Jonathan being annoying. Like now in this episode, I was like, Jonathan's cool. He got the shit beat out of him. I feel bad for him. Sorry, yeah. I talked a lot smack about him for 7 episodes leading up to this point.
You heard it here first, boys. If you're interested in girls, just know that if you are normal and adjusted and just having a regular life, women are completely uninterested in you. It's only if you are fucked up and weird and you get beat up a lot that you are considered interesting. So that's today's lesson. So
look, all of our main men got beat up. Hopper got beat up a little. Steve got punched in the face and then beat up a Russian. There's a lot of violence for our friends.
Yeah, there's a lot. This was an action-packed episode.
Yes.
No question about it. And since we have the three different things to talk about, what do you want to start with? Do you want to start with the way the episode started and do elevator crew first? Because they're kind of separate.
Sure. Yeah. I guess they're all separate.
They are.
But they're all looking to the same things at the end.
Yes.
It's just how they will all connect.
Here's what I do know. Don't miss Uncle Jack's party.
Yeah. It's all right. Tina will cover for you. But Tina. Not about Uncle Jack's party.
Correct.
Then you're screwed.
I have a question. Is Stranger Things incapable of doing anything with a black person that's a female, not making them utterly sassy? Like the chick at the front, the kid, the two black chicks in this are like sassy. It's like sassy black people.
Wait, the like receptionist?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't find her super sassy.
I feel like they're writing almost one note as far as those characters go. But I do appreciate Jessica. I do appreciate Erica's part to be played in this. It was pretty funny, actually. But this whole elevator scene, talk to me about it.
It's obviously a very, like, you know, exciting start. You start right where you left off with this elevator, like, going down and just, again, putting a little bit more at stake. Like, you know, you're going to be dead in a Russian elevator, not at Uncle Jack's party coming up soon.
For sure. Steve says that, right?
Yeah. I like to see them all working together, trying to get out of this situation, but at the same time being like, but look at this, you know, like they get distracted and it's like, so I like the critical thinking as far as like, well, let's climb out of the elevator.
Right.
And then they're like, well, let's hold the door open the best we can, like slide out. And then they're like, this is how we're going to figure out how to get out of here. Like the critical thinking that continues. But then when they find that extra room at the end, how all of a sudden it's like, oh, we can't just run out right now because look at this.
Sure. Yeah, and it's like as each point goes, obviously Stranger Things is always doing this. The stakes continue to increase as we move through each independent story. Like obviously we're going to talk about this in a way that it's not presented to us, but if you think about the whole elevator thing, each time they cut back, it's like the stakes go up a little more and a little more. You know, it goes from we're stuck in this elevator to now we want to get out of this elevator to, oh, here come two Russians, let's hide from them. Then it goes to, okay, now let's do something clever to get out. Then it's like, okay, let's sneak. Ooh, now we got to fight a guy. Now, whoa, what's this? So at each phase, each cut back is a little bit more risk than the prior scene within that sequence, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's just slick the way they do it. And that's all three of these stories do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why Stranger Things is so binge-worthy, because it keeps continuously ramping it up. And not like major jumps, they give you minor jumps, just enough to kind of string you along. And I just think it's a good way to sort of edit out your script. You go, okay, here's what we're going to do. each phase is going to go. Like, they don't start with this big bang and then sort of let you level off of the episode. Sometimes a show will do that. Or just to shock you, you know, something crazy will happen in the middle of an episode and then the fallout is the rest of the episode. Like Game of Thrones did that a lot. Like, whoa, this crazy thing happened and now there's just a fallout for like the last 15, 20 minutes. And it's a cool way to shock you. But the Stranger Things formula, it seems to work because it's investigative. They're learning things. They're you know, and it just keeps ramping up as they go.
And you're just doing it along with them. You know what I mean?
It's correct. Not
like you have, I mean, you have the additional information as far as you know that everybody's working on their own different storyline, but you're still figuring stuff out kind of as the characters are figuring things out.
Right. That's got to be called something.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, but
sure
you're
it's
right.
A,
that's
a
that's,
word for it.
It's in other words, we don't have the omniscient eye. Like right. We don't have the God's eye view. We are learning it as the characters learn it.
There's no, and there, the Stranger Things doesn't do the thing where they're like, this major thing happens, and then they're like, 8 hours earlier.
Right. Like. Right, absolutely. And so Dustin hitting the radio, Steve peeing in the elevator made me laugh. And Eric is like, well, I'll smash his file if we are going to be facing dehydration. A little premature, but she is a small child.
Yeah, yeah.
The Russian smell piss, which made me laugh.
Not the guy smoking a cigarette.
No.
But don't worry, I got a warning at the beginning of the episode that this was rated TV 14 or whatever due to smoking.
That's so ridiculous.
Because, you know, smoking should make something harder to watch.
It's goofy. It's going to get longer and longer, those the preambles, because of every potential trigger that there could be for somebody who was traumatized by something in some way. You know, there'll just be a list of all the things that are possibly triggering.
I like that, like, smoking is a thing where they're like, this, like, I know, like obviously, like, drugs and stuff, like, they'll put that as, like, a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll be like, oh, there's swearing and nudity and violence and gore and drugs. And now it's like, and smoking. And soon it's going to be like drinking alcohol. And that's it. Like,
it won't end. They should just say it's for this age group and over. And that's
like, you
it.
You don't have to tell me why.
Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes art is scary and revolting and weird. You just have to accept that going in.
And like if you're 5, you can see someone smoke a cigarette on a television.
Yeah. If your parents,
the show is set in the 80s.
If your parents are too dumb to teach you, you know, how to operate in the world, then I don't know what to tell you. You're doomed, I guess. And TV's not going to save you, though.
No joke.
But that said, I love Erica laying into the commies. Thank God for her for that. Makes me happy. They start talking about Prometheum.
That's a really funny scene. That was good comedic like timing. And
again, they continue to serve us here with this stuff. Promethean, or not to be confused with Prometheus, right? Which Dustin makes the distinction because he's a nerd and he's smart.
I just love that. And when Eric is like hanging out with you nerds and Steve is like, do not associate me with that.
Oh, don't worry. Nobody thinks you're super oddly smart, Steve. You're fine.
It was really funny.
But I like that they continue to infiltrate this facility, which is fully staffed.
Right.
Right? You start to, again, this goes into what we how we lay the groundwork for this discussion, which is this idea of ever-increasing stakes. But it's cool to see. What I like about the staff is it adds a different layer of intrigue to it. It's not just a bunch of evil people.
It's like, people doing their jobs.
Correct. It's people who are like, oh, we're going to bring you to this place where you work. They don't know where they are. They, you know, it's like all of a sudden, what the hell? We're just regular. It's interesting to think that some of those lab workers could just be innocent people who know they're working on a government project and don't know all of the details of it.
Right.
Like just a regular staff person walking around with a lab coat.
Right. Like they just got hired to do this job and they don't realize they're evil, but they are evil.
Or contributing to it anyway.
Sad to not know you're evil when you're evil.
I know you probably don't remember Red Dawn, but that was a good reference. That's the movie that starts out. It's one of those old school star-studded casts, and it starts out with paratroopers landing, and it's Russians, and they're invading the U.S., and it's like the kids have to fight them with guns and stuff, and a kid dies. It's pretty intense. Wolverines! That's that whole thing. You've seen it mocked 1,000 times
in
shows.
I have never seen it.
You have.
Nope.
If I knew Steve could knock out a Russian, that would have been my plan in the first place, says Dustin. That was hilarious.
I love all the talk about Steve getting beat up and stuff and not being able to win a fight. And then Dustin's like, dude, you won. Like, he's so proud of him. It's so cute. I literally love him so much.
I was thinking, oh boy, he's in trouble. But it's cool. You know, I kind of forgot about the him ragging on Steve for the fighting thing until he actually said it at the end because I was so wrapped up in what was happening.
Right, right.
And that's something Stranger Things just is really good at. They're really good at tone setting. The music works really well. It's shot well. It's just a very high end produced product and you feel really pulled into it. You feel the production value. You feel what I like about this show is I still feel a lot of care going into it. I still feel like they're trying to make a good show that they want to make.
Like they haven't phoned it in.
They haven't quite phoned it in. They got a little goofy with the 80s stuff. But it feels a lot different than, like, say, the final season of GOT to me. And again, this is not the final season of Stranger Things, but it still feels like they're passionate about the project. And I know it's hard to quantify that because I don't really know what they're thinking or feeling. I have no fucking clue. But I like to think that. I'll speculate. How's that? It's a podcast. That's what we do. We're going to speculate.
That's fair. It's fair.
So they sneak into the lock lab. And I was like, man, this is a man with man strength. And I was worried for Steve, especially a trained man. But I think he smashed him with some kind of weapon,
he was just able to like get him off guard for like a second.
Hit him with something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. If you get him off guard for 1 second, you can make your move, knock somebody out. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, dude.
So that's helpful.
But them coming upon the... Oh, and Robin using her Russian to distract him momentarily.
Yeah, she's so funny. She's like, these are the words I know in Russian. She's like...
He's like, what?
And she's literally just repeating stuff from the broadcast because that's the Russian that she knows. It's fantastic.
Right. Anything else from this group of people that you wanted, that you think is conversation worthy?
I feel like they're like, it was like action packed and like we move them forward, but there's not like a ton to like really like sink into quite yet in this storyline.
I agree.
This was more so like, we had all the stuff with them figuring the shit out, and now it's like they're in the lab and we're getting them to the point in the lab where like their next like set of things is going to happen. This episode for them was more so almost like moving the plot forward.
Right.
Than like really in depth with like their specific situation, I feel.
And I'll tell you.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't enjoyable because I will watch again this group on my TV all episode and be happy.
Right. So they had a lot of conflict, but... And it makes sense because they had set it up. We have to see something going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the discovery of that observation room, the giant device. They're feeding the green shit into it. We finally know what the point of the green shit is. It's fuel. If it's literally promethium, I think that's some sort of like radioactive element. And they're feeding this machine. And I don't know if they're, so I don't know, you know, but I don't know if they're borrowing. I don't know if they're busting into the upside down. I don't know what their plan is.
It looks very similar to the door out closed.
It looks very similar to what they were doing in the Hawkins lab in season one, right?
And season two.
Season two.
But it looks similar to literally like if you remember the flashback of Elle like closing the gate.
True.
Like it looks very similar to that.
Right. Which in what I might, what I think could be very interesting in this case is we might see a situation where the Russians end up becoming allies and because they know they have to put the mind flare back and that's why they're trying to open it. Like it'll be interesting to see. Are the Russians the true... We know the Mind Flayer is an antagonist, no question. But are the Russians simply obstacles? Could they still go path of antagonist? Could they potentially go protagonist? It's interesting to think about because they might be... What we've said over and over this season is the Mind Flayer doesn't give a fuck where you're from. It's not a nationalist. It's going to go after people, any people within range. It's hard to believe that Russians wouldn't also be victims of the Mind Flayer. And I'm curious to see if the Russians end up unlikely allies against the Mind Flayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of a plot device they'll serve because we don't want to introduce all these characters we don't care about. We want our main characters to fix the problem. That's the point of the show.
Right.
But I'm curious as to if the Russians are going to hurt or help in that process as we move into the last three episodes here. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
But I'm not sold that they are either or yet. I'm open to the possibility of them possibly trying to do quote good.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's anything else to say about the elevator stuff other than that. Oh, and the other thing is it's going to be hard pressed unless they pop out of the mall somewhere to get this crew back to the other crew. They're so deep in this lab.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're going to ever reconnect. They might be in that lab till the bitter end. And, I'm not convinced we're going to see them. I'm sure we'll see Joyce and Hopper connect with the kids, but I'm not sure we're going to see Robin, Steve, Dustin, Erica reconnect to our main group until like the last episode or something.
They're very much on a very different wavelength. And, you know, the kids are like looking for Hopper and Joyce to a degree. Like, where are they? Whereas they're
True.
Just like Dustin's MIA.
Mm-hmm.
You right. know what I mean?
It's a good point. Maybe Elle will find him as she found Hopper, or sort of found Hopper. I do like that her powers are a bit limited as far as that goes, like the clairvoyance. She doesn't know exactly where they are.
She just knows what they're saying.
She gets little clues. But yeah, good stuff.
I agree.
Hopper and Joyce?
Sure.
All right. The Hopper and Joyce stuff is really cool. And in when you said this, you said Russian Terminator, and it just made my mind click. It like opened me up to obvious things I wasn't thinking about when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was like, holy shit, this is he's not just the Russian Terminator. This is Stranger Things doing Terminator.
Yeah, they did. Like, it's 100% a nod to Terminator.
100%.
And to be honest, like, this is like the type of 80s stuff that I like this show doing, as opposed to like the over the top, like playing material girl, like,
sure,
you know, like long scene of dress up. I like this, like, hey, this is like a nod to Terminator 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you've never seen Terminator and you don't care, it doesn't change anything about the show.
Correct.
You're not like, what is this?
Right.
You're like, okay, this is a fucking bad Russian dude and he's coming for them and he will not be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just, if you've seen Terminator, you're like, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. Until you are dead.
So, and it is, it's so, even the actor they cast in this role,
sure,
has a very Arnold, like Terminator look to him.
Square jaw.
It's cute, but not too cute.
I like it.
So I like it.
And it's like, it's Terminator, but with a Stranger Things flair.
Correct.
Because you have them going to the Hess farm. We have the cool lighting effects, mm-hmm, the pulsing in the house. They put their ear on the floor. They're listening. The lights are dimming. That's cool, man. That's the kind of Stranger Things we've come to expect out of this type of, I don't even want to calling it horror seems like a stretch, but it is kind of, you know, that kind of intrigue or horror, as it were. But I don't think they expected to find the Hess farm abandoned. Very cool. They get in there and secret basement. And who's in the secret basement other than the Russians?
Yep.
And I like how they get this kind of dorky looking Alexei guy.
Alexei was in the first episode in the lab.
Just
for, because I, upon rewatching it, was like, oh, there's Alexei in the lab, which
cool.
I did not notice the first time I watched it.
Awesome.
So he is in the first episode in that opening scene with all the Russians in the lab that we see. Alexei is in that scene. So
right.
Just as a, I did not catch that the first time around when I met Alexei in this episode, but rewatching it in the first scene, I was like, oh, there's Alexei. So just want to point that out.
Right.
That was not noticed.
And this, it doesn't take long for us to run into our boy here. We see Darth Rusky and he's got this fucking stockless AK. And, he ends up showing up and battling again with Hopper.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's tough.
He will be back for you, Hopper.
Okay? Yes.
Don't you worry.
And this is, by the way, this is a trope that's cool. Like, the police have rules. That's such a bad guy thing to say, especially coming out of the 80s.
Yeah, and I like Hopper's like, nope. And Hopper literally shot that guy in the head if he hadn't moved.
That was dark and awesome.
Yeah.
I really like that moment.
I appreciate that, like, because you know what? I do think Hopper, despite that to me is something I could see Hopper in that situation, like shooting that fucking guy.
Yep. I like that part a lot. I like that they fight. Joyce with the terrible throw of the gun.
That's, oh my God. That was one mini comedic moment.
Right.
But it was like, okay.
It was like, good. They did a good job of using 6 rounds of ammunition in the revolver because one shot, then the Russian shoots 5 times and then the gun's empty. Cool.
Dean loves that stuff. He gets very upset when guns are used incorrectly, as I'm sure you all know. I do not understand anything about guns, so I will say nothing.
Right. The AK probably had a little more rounds than they let on. I didn't see him change the mag, but whatever. Can't have it all.
Can't have it all.
But it gets fucking wild. That guy chases them. He fires at their car. Hopper drags Alexei in the back. They drive away. Oi, drive! Right? Hopper's freaking out. And of course, because the car got shot to shit, it breaks down in the woods and then blows up while Alexei and Joyce tries to talk to Alexei about magnets. Magnets, yes. Machine, yes.
I just like that he's like, yes, words. Like, he's yes. Like, I know this word. Yes, magnet. Yes, machine. He's like, car. And she's like, no, not the car.
No. And I didn't catch this. I had to ask you because you had seen it twice, but they're going to talk to his friend that speaks Russian. I missed where they were going.
Illinois.
Ill-Annoy. A-N-N-O-Y. But,
where we're going.
Yeah, I like the trek through the woods, them talking, and there's, you know, just this stuff. And that cool moment where we see Elle kind of spotting them in the woods as they
fade
away. I was like, wow, that's neat. But
yeah, good scene. Good like moment.
Russian Terminator finds, of course, the disabled vehicle. In that moment where he turns and the car is to his back and he's looking at the camera and he does the slow look from left to right, that's when I went, holy fuck, Terminator shit.
Yep.
Terminator shit right there.
100%.
And then, of course, we get I like this, you know, one of your concerns, and mine too, but more you this season, has been Hopper's behavior. I actually liked Hopper making the jokes about the Russian Scott Clark, your new boyfriend. I thought that was funny.
That I was actually fine with that because we know he's like...
going to date, maybe Enzo's.
Yes.
You know, the one you didn't show up at that I waited for you at.
That didn't feel like as over the top as some other things like to me. Like they're in a stressful situation. Mm-hmm. They've got this random like Russian like hostage.
And he's kind of joking. He's fucking he's jibing her a little bit.
He is.
He's not being serious, so to speak.
Right, right. Exactly. Which is fine.
Now, I didn't catch this, but I love that fucking moment where Alexi goes running and then he sees a 7-Eleven like it's the greatest thing he's ever seen.
Yes.
And we hard cut to them all drinking soda.
Yeah.
And they all have different soda. I see one can of Coke, one can of Jolt, and then I think...
Jolt! Oh my God, what a blast from the past.
And I think Joyce has Tab.
Oh my God.
But I'm not sure, because it looks like a light red, almost pink, mm-hmm. light pink looking, like Tab. This just stuff's terrible for you, by the way. Mm. But I like that. It's just a good part. I like them going to 7-Eleven. I like them on the run. It's funny. It's like if Stranger Things did Terminator, because in Terminator, it's fucking dark always, mm-hmm. especially the first one. It's super dark all the way through mm-hmm. and they're trying to survive and the seriousness of it makes sense and they're on the run, but we get these moments of levity when we go to a 7-Eleven. The kid's like, oh, he's like, I'm an undercover cop.
Yeah.
He's busting the kid's balls and shit. Mm-hmm. But this 7-Eleven scene, what I like about it so much is this is 80s world building without hitting exactly. you over the head with it. Mm-hmm. Okay. We see Todd's car. We see the way Todd dresses. We see the stuff available to purchase. And they do it in the hospital, the vending machine, the old labels on the candy. Mm-hmm. This is how you build world and build setting.
Without being over the top.
Correct.
Yes.
This makes me feel like you wanted to get the details right without making it a cute game.
Exactly.
Like your attention to detail matters. The story isn't about 1985. The story takes place in 1985.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And then, of course, the old commandeer the vehicle trick. Hopper goes after Todd's vehicle and that shit where he's like, he's killed many children.
It's so funny. And it's filmed so funny. And this is something that it takes good writing and good directing, good acting and just everything. But here's this character, this like, he's nerdy looking, right, Alexi? Like he doesn't look like this big mean Russian. But over the course of like literally 20 minutes of spending time with Alexi, where he doesn't speak any English, you're like, I love him. He's so endearing.
Yeah, it's definitely Tab. I can see the T.
Oh, you're looking at it now. Yeah,
I can see the T.
But in just that moment, he's like, he may not look it, but he's very dangerous. And there's Alexi with a freaking Slurpee, just like drinking it, like looking all cute. And it's so well filmed the way Hopper talks. He's murdered many, many children. And then when Joyce is like, oh yes, terrible forgerer. And he's like, and child murderer.
Joyce's look when Hopper says it, what the fuck?
It's good. It's good. Also, and just Hopper's reaction when he sees fucking Todd pull up in the car and he's like,
yes. And of course, another piece of cool world building is when he purchases a map, a road map. Mm-hmm. Remember when people bought those?
Mm-hmm.
Those are good to keep in your car, by the way. But pretty awesome. He's got a fucking road map he's buying to know where he's going. And of course, Hopper just sort of bullies Todd out of his car with some police presence, as it were.
Mm-hmm. I know, and Joyce coming over, he's like, this is Detective Byers. It's really, It's a funny little scene. It's like some comedic relief after like the insanity that they just went through.
Right.
That's something else the show does that's really good is you
like dial it back.
Right. You have this scene where you're like, there's a ton of violence and the guns and like it's very intense. And then you switch to a scene like this that is like more comedic, but it doesn't feel like mistimed or out of place. You're like, okay, this is just how it goes. And I appreciate that. I like the way that they're able to do that so that the show never gets too, too intense, you know?
Sure.
Until whatever it probably needs to in like a finale or something. Like, Like they know to do their comedy.
Correct. Yes. They know how to let you take a breath.
Right.
Right.
While still sticking with the story they're trying to tell.
Sure. Murray.
Yes.
Welcome back, Murray. I'm pretty sure we called him a creep because he was like talking about...
Hey, Nance and Jonathan.
You guys gonna have some sex? Maybe I can film it. Yeah. For my private collection. How old are you guys?
Yeah, he's...
Are you guys of legal age? No? All right.
Dreams come true.
Fucking Murray. Murray seems to have gone a little bit more militant.
Off the grid, like crazy.
He's gone a little bit more militant. He's a little more serious. I remember him having more of almost a aloof and lazy tone last time.
Mm-hmm.
Now he seems more like, what the fuck? I'm getting really ramped up here. He comes to the door with a goddamn double barrel shotgun.
Right.
And I like the little discussion in Russian. He calls him a bald American pig, Alexei. And Murray just sort of laughs about it. He's like, oh, okay.
Back.
You're the one in handcuffs, fucker.
I like this about the show, too, is that as we're like watching the show as a viewer, just like the same thing about not getting more information. When Alexei speaks, we're never given subtitles as to what he's saying. It's just speaking Russian.
Sure.
Until this moment where he insults Murray, because Murray does speak Russian, is going to respond in Russian.
That's a great
point. So like we as a viewer we get that joke because Murray gets that joke and he understands him. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, we're just like Joyce and Hopper and we don't understand anything he's saying because we don't speak Russian. And I appreciate that the show does that.
Yeah.
It makes it funnier. It makes Alexei more endearing. And it's just, it's just the way to do it. But I like that we get that one. We get that line. We get that joke.
That's awesome.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Do you think that device, that scanner he made is causing all of them to get cancer?
I think it's probably like a metal detector you take to the beach and find coins.
Something like that.
And probably also, yes.
What about our girl Joyce? She has a little bit of a meltdown, right? Let's have a listen.
What is your problem?
Please stop talking.
No! We have had a very long day. We have been shot at, nearly blown up, walked God knows how many miles in 100 degree heat, stole a car, all while being chased by this gigantic psychopath. Also, we could bring him to you because somehow you're the closest person who speaks Russian, which I can't believe. But that doesn't matter because unfortunately, we're here. So if you don't mind, put that thing away, stop behaving like a jackass, and ask him what he's doing that's making my magnets fall off my damn fridge.
Excellent scene.
I like, so obviously we want to bring Alexei to see Murray because we want to put Murray in the show again.
True.
Right? That's why. Like,
it's a good point.
And that's why every single time Joyce is like, I don't understand that there's not someone closer who speaks Russian. Because of course there is. And she's literally like this voice of the audience. Like it's not like breaking like the fourth wall, but to a degree, it's like they're like, we get it. We know that there's someone closer who speaks Russian, but don't you want to see Murray on your TV again, guys? Come on.
Good point. I didn't even think about it that way.
Because she says it twice. He's like, we're going to Illinois. And she's like, I can't believe there's no one closer who speaks Russian. And then she says it again in this scene. And I like that because she is probably very correct.
Good stuff. Awesome. So yeah, I definitely like the way that's going. It's cool having that guy hot on their heels because it adds an element of danger. Like they could just be investigating stuff, but having the time crunch of the someone closing of the Russian Terminator adds a sense of danger to it that might not be there. Because at this point, we don't really feel, it's not like Will has been affected and we're going to lose him to the mind flare mm-hmm. and time is of essence.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing at this point that says time is quite of essence just yet. We just know something is happening. And yes, time is of essence always if there's a threat. That said, it's more visceral to have somebody chasing and pushing you to move. Mm-hmm. It adds an element of danger and suspense to the TV show. It works really well.
Right, for sure.
So Ellen the gang, she finds Hopper with her powers. Again, we talked about that cool transitory shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois, she doesn't know what the fuck that is. I always forget that L like doesn't
it's know not human.
Things.
Like yeah. I mean, she is human, but she's like not. She like lives in a lab for like 13 years.
Yeah, she doesn't know things. It's funny.
Like geography. She does not know geography.
Again, we start getting Mike doing his thing, right? Mike doing his thing. He's got his soapbox. He's doing what Mike should be doing.
Right.
But he doesn't think the Illinois thing's a coincidence. They're not sure how they're going to deal with Billy. And I like what Will said. Will has a couple of great insights in this episode. He says, we can't just stop Billy. We have to stop the mind flayer.
Exactly.
Right? And, you know, again, each one of these each one of these three major theaters, as it were, sequences has their own comedy in it that's relevant to the plot and not just random comedy. Mm-hmm. Like girls just like hanging out in bathrooms. Makes sense for everything that's been going on. Part of the subplot of this is Mike not understanding Elle and Elle not understanding Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And that line is perfectly suits that subplot, which they've established since the first episode.
Yeah, they're conspiring in there.
They're conspiring. Jonathan and Nancy go to see Mike. So the party's getting together, right? We've discussed this.
I'm just pumped. Like from the scene from like Nancy yes. calls Jonathan. Jonathan's like, Will's not even here. They're
is
like,
he safe?
Okay, they get together. And right? But that's a valid question.
Good way to freak him out though.
Like that's, you know, she's asking a valid question and they go and they're like, all right, kids, here we are. Shit's going down.
Right. And what we have to do now is compare notes.
Exactly.
And that's when she brings up Driscoll and she's like, listen, we got to compare notes.
She's like, it's just like what happened with Will. Because
mm-hmm.
she saw that. She was there for when Will was, you know, and she's like, look at the body temperatures. You know, he likes it cold. We like the Nancy Drew detective work. I support it.
Yep.
Good work, Nancy. You're doing shit.
She is. Mike explains the flayed. And this is another good insight from Will when he says, if there are two, there are more. That's
and
huge.
And then they go down the rabbit hole figuring out, okay, there's Mrs. Driscoll. It's Billy. And then she's like, what about Heather Holloway? And then Nancy's like, Heather. And they're both like, Tom. Because they had already mentioned he acted weird in that mm-hmm. one scene.
Yep.
And I love their detective work. I love them coming together, sharing information, figuring that out, going to the Holloway house, Nancy like working through like what probably happened there. This is what I want to see. This is what I want Nancy
Absolutely.
And Jonathan to do.
This is what I want them all to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yes, I like the idea of it goes from weird suspicion to confirmation when the two groups compare notes because they're like, okay, then this isn't just, that's also a Stranger Things formula that works. Weird things are going on. We're kids. They don't believe us, but oh, these other people see it too. Right? That happened before. Nancy and Jonathan also confirmed something is weird. It validates the kids.
Right.
Now, they're not little children anymore, but still, they are all being validated by each other because they're all supporting each other mm-hmm. with the evidence they present.
Correct.
Nancy smelling the chemicals. The place is a mess. This is when Mike has the insight of saying, wait a minute, eating chemicals is something new. Maybe they're trying to create something new because in science, Mr. Clark taught us you combine chemicals to make something new.
Correct.
Right? Again, Mr. Clark getting a lot of love in this.
Yeah. Mr. Clark, for someone who was literally in 5 minutes of one episode, is really like a star of the show.
Something else I like about this stuff here is I really like the way we say, okay, we saw what in my opinion is still the best scene of the season, which is the scene at the Holloway house.
I agree.
Okay. We saw what happened on the surface, but what a clever way to go back to the scene and see stuff we didn't see.
Love it.
It's really slick, right? Because if you see this in a procedural, you don't get that. You see, okay, a guy goes in and murders somebody. If we have the omniscient eye in like a murder movie, we see the guy go in the house and kill the people, and then it cuts to crime scene, them collecting the stuff we know.
Right.
This is a little bit different. We're seeing stuff like the fridge ripped out, the chemicals, all the weird clues. And yes, we see the
Billy
blood.
Billy dragging Tom into the room.
Absolutely. And yes, we do have a little bit of a connection with the wine bottle and the blood and the bandage, and that makes sense. But seeing the things that we didn't see before was a really cool way to give us insight into the scene that we didn't have before because mm-hmm. we only saw what happened, not what was going on in that kitchen.
Correct.
Cool, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
I liked the setup and like I can't remember like timing wise, like when exactly, but like the kitchen table is still set just like it was, the fucking cookies on the table from mm-hmm. when they're like, want a cookie? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so creepy. It's very well done.
That's great. Yeah. That's the other point too. When you come in and you see all the food down
and you know, it's at least been, it's been over a day.
Sure. Because the food hasn't spoiled.
But it's been time and still, it's just all just still sitting out there from that same moment. Like they never went back and were like, oh, let's take care of this shit. They were just like, nope, moving on.
Yep. They follow the clues and piece together that they were taken somewhere. They were moved. Obviously, they're not there, right? And that's when Nancy's like, wait a minute. Again, we have characters with notes that have to compare notes to start putting the pieces together to drive the action forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very well-paced and well-executed and believable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she says, Driscoll yelling, I have to go back. interesting. Go back where? They start talking about that. Will's like, another great plan from Will. Why don't we use Driscoll to lead us to where she wants to go? If she wants to go back, let her and we'll follow her. Essentially is the plan.
Right.
Great job, Will. Will's doing stuff.
Yeah, we like Will.
That's great. Good for Will. So they end up in the hospital. They catch some flack from the nurse at the desk and the hilarious extended family thing.
Yeah.
That shit made me laugh, dude. She's like, family. And the nurse looks at Lucas. Extended family, he says. And only two at a time. So Jonathan and Nancy decide to go to Driscoll's room. And this turns into a whole sequence within a sequence. And it's awesome. This is some badass. This reminds me of like season one Walking Dead, Rick in the hospital shit.
It's scary.
It's great.
It's definitely a, you know, it's a very like frightening type scene. Like it's a very horror movie-esque type of scene.
Yeah. Like monsters in a hospital.
Correct.
Right? This is a thing. They have their moment of apology. She apologizes and Jonathan admits he was wrong. That's cute.
And I'm happy. I'm fine with that.
And it makes sense because they're in a moment where, what else are they going to do? They're in an elevator.
Yeah.
It's a quick moment. Makes sense. And meanwhile, the kids get some free snacks from Elle. And that's when Lucas, again, with the wisdom that Mike just doesn't have, or at least the observation, he's like, dude, it's an olive branch.
Yes.
She's trying to make an olive branch. She's like, what? He's like, will you talk to her? You dumb dumb. I'll distract the other girl. You talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happens. No Driscoll. Her room's a mess. The flowers are tipped over.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I love the, again, the grim importance, the little things we go, they walk by a room and they see a, like a clipboard on the floor. That's not right. It's a hospital. You don't just see papers spilled on the floor unattended.
Like these little hints of like something is off.
Yes.
If that slowly build and build and build to, oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Person that is now taken over by Mind Flayer.
Indeed. Again, this is intercut with all the stuff of, you know, the kids, but Tom with the blood on his hands, that confrontation is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And then you have this, your speech is like M&Ms. It's cute. This is when they're at their best, when they're cute.
Oh, the kids. Yeah. Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Likes her new look, calls it cool. And, there's death all over the hospital. These kids completely have no idea what's going on.
No, they're just hanging out, just being friends. They're all getting back together.
And Jonathan gets his
ass. But Will does. Will's the first one to, again, they're all being cutesy with their girls. And Will's like, something's wrong. Which is, we like that Will, you know, is onto that shit.
Right. If he's not going to be distracted, let him do something.
Right.
Absolutely. And he has been. They've fed him a couple of important lines that are major pieces of the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, but that's a slick idea. Let's use Driscoll. If she wants to go back, let her. We'll follow her. Awesome.
Right, right.
Jonathan and Nancy are going to get Driscoll, but she's not there. And Busey's kid beats the shit out of Jonathan.
Kid.
Yes. He borrowed some coke from his dad, got real amped up, and just put the fucking beating on Jonathan. Beat the brakes right off him.
Oh, that's like stuff. Like, I hate to watch people get beat up. Like, it is like a struggle for me. And like, oh my God, it makes me hitting him like on the back with that thing. And I'm like,
better make sure my steak ain't cold.
Why? Because you're going to beat somebody else up in front of me so I can watch?
You'll be covering that shiner on your eye with the steak if it's cold. Shit. Domestic abuse is funny. But anyway, this fight gets real brutal. So I have a couple of concerns.
How can Jonathan walk?
No. Is Tom and Gary Busey's kid dead? Like, did they just kill a person, these kids? Are they going to be scarred for life? Or are those like doppelgangers and the real people are somewhere else?
I don't know.
So I'm curious about that. A shout out to all of you G.I. Joe fans, Tomax and Zaymont. You punch one, the other one feels it. I had to write that down. 1985, by the way.
Yeah.
It's funny. Last episode, I'm like, it's 84, 86 guaranteed. And you're like, 85.
Yeah. And then you were mad at me because I wanted to know what year it was. You're like, it doesn't matter. Now it does matter because you've already talked about it twice. So
it doesn't matter. All that matters is the mid-80s.
Stop talking about it.
Well, I am trying to make a point regarding the year. So I'll talk about it as much as I want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You want to stop me? All right. We're going to talk about getting beat up again.
Bye.
We're going to have to talk about it. So G.I. Joe, Tomax and Zaymont, fire extinguisher in the fucking face. The other one's nose breaks. And then, oh, hey, I'm going to stab this guy in the neck, in the base of the neck specifically. And I wrote, Jonathan just killed a guy.
Yeah.
With a trident.
Better lay low for a while.
Better lay low for a while. So, yeah. What makes me think, well, I don't really know, but I am curious about that. He did just stab a man in the neck. I wonder how that's going to go down. But after this crazy fight, and you're right, Jonathan gets a metal chair smashed into his back. Ugh, that's fucking brutal. But they start convulsing and melting. This has been established from the rat.
I believe the noise that they wrote on the screen was squelching.
Squelching is a good
squelching.
Word. Yes.
Oh my God,
and you brought up the great and wonderful film, The Thing.
Yeah. Great. One of my faves.
Right. The way they combine, that's a great point.
Makes me just think of the scene in the dog kennel, like at the beginning.
So
like
gross.
When all of a sudden you're like, what the fuck?
Fucking dog has like a thing grown out of its arm.
Oh my God. It's nasty. I love that movie at the end.
But again, this has all been established with the rats. I love the way their clothes don't melt. That's slick, man.
It is so good because it brings it back to that same thing. Like you said, we already know that this is like, it's not like you're like, what the fuck? You're like, okay, we watch what happens to that rat. And the clothes thing is so, it's smart.
I guess that probably answers my question. If the clothes are still there, then it's really them affected. There's not copies, in other words. I started thinking, are there copies of these people? But if their clothes are there, I guess not. Well, I don't know.
Clothes are still clothes, whether you're a copy or real.
Yeah, would they take their clothes and put them on their fake people? I guess it's possible.
Or
but
maybe
anyway.
They put new clothes on their fake people, but either way, they're still clothes.
They went to the store about the same clothes?
If clothes are going to melt, they're going to melt, whether you're a doppelganger or not. Your clothes will still not melt. Do you understand?
Yes, but if the doppelganger can form the appearance of clothes, like is a dop, can, like in other words, is
I think a doppelganger can just be a person. I don't think.
And then
they
gotta go clothes shopping.
Yes. What did Arnold Schwarzenegger do when he was a Terminator, bitch? Give me your clothes.
He's not a doppelganger. He's
no,
a
but he's something different that, like, you know, is different.
Give me your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. Yeah, do that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'd beat the shit out of the Russian Terminator in like 2 seconds.
That's also true.
Yeah, let's shoot him up real good. Anyway. The biomass, as I wrote, combines into a monster. I guess that's the Mind Flayer. Looks like him. Or a version of him. Smaller version of him. And
I think he's big.
Mind Flayer's fucking huge. That's true. And holy crap. Wow. What a crazy episode. It's a breakneck episode. It's not, again, like you said, it's super actiony. So there's not a lot of thought-provoking questions that come up other than some of the ones I just made, but you ridiculed me for.
About clothes?
Terminators and doppelgangers and clothing and motorcycles. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, that's it. What do you think about this one? Like all, let's overall, I mean, this, I feel like the show is getting better every episode.
Yeah. I think that this is definitely like a good episode. Like I said, I like seeing our people come together. I think there's a lot of setup. Even though stuff happened for our elevator crew, but like I do feel like I feel like this episode like started with a lot of like for all the characters like this setup thing, because even the kids and stuff. But now we're going into like the action, like shit is happening, and there's no like real pause you can put on it now after what we just watched.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You could say the thing has been set in motion and they're going to come at a breakneck speed and they're going to run around and solve things and fight people. Yeah, it's going to be great.
How many more episodes are there?
I don't know. Use your words and tell me what you think.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's 8, actually.
Okay, fair.
But I'm pumped. I enjoyed this episode. This will be probably one of the shorter episodes on the pod, but it is. It kind of is what it is. I really enjoyed it. It was cool. Great lighting. Again, visually compelling.
It's creepy.
Fucking wicked.
The hospital thing is really creepy. It is like a horror movie. Like it's the setup. It's which is great because we want that horror element from the show also.
Yeah.
And we definitely got it in this scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
It's awesome. Cool strobing effects on the light, then watching the people melt.
And don't worry, there was a warning at the beginning of the episode about the strobe lights. So I just want to make sure you guys know. Cigarette smoking and strobe lights.
Oh, shit, man. That's funny.
In case you were wondering.
Well, I guess that's it for this this week's Hawkins Report episode, everybody. That was a good fucking breakneck speed, just like that episode. We pounded through it. I enjoyed it a lot. And that concludes our discussion of the Flayed. I am glad. The most compelling thing to me is Will saying there's got to be more and them having that epiphany.
Yes, it's great.
So we know they're in for it. And next week, we will be discussing, I don't know the name of this episode. It is
E Pluribus Unum.
E Pluribus Unum.
That's so, Latin.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought it was fucking Russian for a second. Yeah. But thank you guys very much for tuning into another edition of the Hawkins Report. Jessica, say goodbye, and then we'll let Arnold tell these people goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you very much for tuning into another edition of the Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast by LSG Media. Don't forget to visit us on the web at LiveryStreetGeek.net. That's LiveryStreetGeek.net.